You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Last week, 2002, and there was eventually enough people by the September to do what was called a Let's Go mission. That's the Queen, I'll tell you about it. And that was the Let's Go mission team. And Doreen hasn't aged at all, who is in the middle there. Steve has a little bit, I'm afraid, Steve. but that little group did a little mission in the town. And then we had our first Sunday, a random photo. I don't know why that was the photo that was taken of our first Sunday. But that was our first Sunday in September 2002. And it was the Golden Jubilee. That's why the Queen got a picture. It was her Golden Jubilee. But that wasn't why we called Jubilee, Jubilee. It was the year of the Queen's Jubilee that we were looking at. But the name Jubilee came from somebody who was one of the leaders in the church that helped us get going. And they had a dream when I felt that it was the name that the church should be, and because it would reflect something of the DNA of the church. That was the sort of what they felt. And so we ended up with Jubilee called Jubilee. And I just thought at the beginning of 2022, it would be good just to reflect briefly on that and then come to a passage in John's Gospel that I want to land with before we break bread together just at the beginning of this year. So for those of you who are less familiar with the Old Testament, the idea of Jubilee you can find in Leviticus 25, and we read of the year of Jubilee. That's where this sort of phrase came from that we ended up being named on. It was a wonderful year where prisoners would be set free, debts forgiven, mercies of God particularly manifest in the year of Jubilee. The agricultural sort of pattern of the time was to sow seeds for 6 years and then leave the land to rest for the seventh year. And then the Jubilee year occurred every seventh Sabbath. So it was after 49 years. So the 50th year was the Jubilee year. And it was an economic and a cultural, environmental community reset. It was a moment in their year where everything got, over their journey, where everything got reset. When the land and the people rested, and all those that were in slavery were set free to return to their communities. The Jubilee laws that you read about in Leviticus were essentially concerned with sort of social relationships and economic security, stability, the well-being of the community. And it was something that God brought into play. And they sought to ensure that people lived in ways that reflected good relationships with God, with each other, and with creation. That was what the year of Jubilee was. And it was a wonderful moment in Israel's history each 50 years. So throughout the rest of the Old Testament, you see that theme developing. God's heart of grace and vision for restoration persists, despite the Israelites' failures to follow some of the laws that would bring them the life that it was supposed to be there. And in the Bible, we see that God uses the prophets in the Old Testament to, like Jeremiah or Isaiah, to bring messages about the consequences of forgetting, amongst other things, the Jubilee laws. And but also those prophets pointed to the one who would enable God's original vision for his people to be restored and for all creation to be renewed. That person, of course, is Jesus. That was the promised Jubilee. Then we read in Luke chapter 4, if you want to make a note, we see Jesus at the beginning of his ministry announcing that he is that one that was foretold by the prophets, particularly the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 61. And the passage often is called Jesus' manifesto or mission statement. And it directly references Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor, in verse 19, if you're looking it up. See, Jesus teaches right at the beginning of his ministry to his listeners, drawing a thread right from the Pentateuch and the prophets, right to that moment in history that he was in and beyond. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, he said. Here Jesus is identifying himself as the Messiah, the fulfillment of the Jubilee. See, ultimately, the idea of Jubilee reminds us that we worship and follow God who brings freedom and opportunity to reset and start again, time and time and time again. And coming out of this pandemic, don't we need a reset, a time of restoration, time of renewal? We see in this idea of Jubilee in the Old Testament, the death and then Jesus' sort of embody of it. You see in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, the ultimate Jubilee, a release from sin that holds us back, restoration with God, a resetting of all creation in human form. That was what Christmas was about, the first Christmas. And that's why we're called Jubilee. See, the word Jubilee comes from a wonderful heritage in the scriptures. And it's like God's inspired vision to interrupt the status quo and change things, to make things new, a reset, sort of embedded in the way of life of God's redeemed and liberated people, emphasizing relationships between humanity, creation, God, and within the reality of the life in the world of broken relationships and isolation, Jubilee is an expression of God's desire for all creation to flourish. And I think, more than ever, our name is relevant. For 20 years, I've hated the name Jubilee. From when we were trying to work out what a logo should look like with Anna 20 years ago, Anna's dad 20 years ago, when Pete and I worked, so how do you capture Jubilee? I've never liked the word. I've wanted us to be called something else, to be honest. Christchurch was always my name. I'm getting distracted now. But we had the name Jubilee. And do you know what? As I've been thinking and praying and just reflecting, maybe it was for now that our name was given 20 years ago. So when we say Jubilee Church Farnham, we've got a great heritage caught up in it that I do wonder whether it is for now. And have got quite excited reflecting about that. Somehow, as we emerge from this pandemic, that idea of resetting, making things new, restoring, seems relevant. There are many who are prisoners, not necessarily in jail. We're not saying we should let them out of jail necessarily, but people get prisoned in lots of different ways, haven't they? And it's a time for freedom. In the Old Testament, in the year of Jubilee, a trumpet was blown. And I wonder whether God is blowing a trumpet at the beginning of this year. In the autumn, I went on a retreat to sort of try and pray for the church, pray for you all, to just try and find God in this next season of the church. A retreat with Terry Virgo, who founded our family of churches. And during the retreat, he just spent a bit of time just remembering how our sort of family of churches started back in the 80s. And some of you weren't even born then. But in the 70s and 80s, there was a sort of wave of God's Spirit across the country, many other parts of the world. And many churches came into what became known as renewal. Those old folks are nodding, remembering those days of renewal. The Renewal magazine, all sorts of things came out of that time. And some of the traditional churches became open to the work of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. There was a wonderful charismatic renewal movement at that time in different parts of the world, where the Spirit of God just came on people in a wonderful way. I've been thinking about it over these last couple of days, just wonderful moments in my own experience and journey, where just that sense of the Spirit coming upon his church was wonderful. And It was just a joyous time of laughter and all sorts of zeal and passion sort of came out in that time. But in some churches, it was a bit of a battle. I'm sure some of you would have been in some of those battles where there was a resistance to that move of God. And it meant that some people moved out of the traditional churches into some of the newer streams of churches. It sort of became called the house church movement. It feels like my life story, but it's history now. But then a lot of things seems like history that don't you think, crumbs, that was, I lived that. Maybe I'm getting old, I don't know. But what happened was that people became part of a new sort of forms of church, a new sort of tradition, new ways of doing church. Some of the traditions were stripped back. There was a desire to restore the church to the type of church that we read about in the New Testament. And so the restoration movement became into being, and our family of churches were part of that. And within it, I was just remembering back just the passion that there was at that time for the church. There was this just a real passion for a restored church like in the New Testament. And just like we see in Acts 2, we've often talked about it here at Jubilee, but that passion for the church was real in those days in a wonderful way. And during the retreat, as I was praying, I just thought, these are two words that are ringing for me, renewal, restoration, as we approach this next year, a renewed infilling of the Holy Spirit, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, a drenching, and a fresh vision for what the restored church could be. I felt that was like the trumpet call, if you like. We've often shared my passion about Acts 2 over the years. When we read about that sort of post-Pentecost, Holy Spirit-filled church where the followers loved each other and were full of a radical sort of love that transformed the world and causes us to be now. Often when we talk about how they took off their masks, and it sort of seems, just made me smile when I'm looking back and thinking, this means something different now, does this? But what it meant was that there was an openness amongst people, a reality, an authenticity about people. As people gathered in those early days in the book of Acts, you see a wonderful picture of community that was full of joy. People cried and laughed and sang and served together in wonderful fellowship. Those who had more freely shared it with those who had less, till socioeconomic barriers moved away. People related together in ways that bridged gender and racial chasm, all those sorts of things. There was a unity that came in those early days of the church. And Acts 2, we see a community of believers that just offered a vision of life that was so beautiful, it took those around them's breath away. That's how I got into doing this church stuff in the first place. I just saw a picture of a people that could change the world. And it was so bold, so creative, so dynamic, the people around them couldn't resist it. It says, if you read Acts 2, 47, verse 47, it says that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That was what the result of it was, that authentic, restored people of God. As the Holy Spirit came and empowered those first disciples, and the first local church was set up, it began to transform people's lives with a jubilee, if you like, a reset, a renewal, a restoration of how things should be. And don't we need that now? So I talk to civic leaders and people in the town, how there is a sort of lack of answers in lots of ways. There's so many good things happened in this pandemic. So many ways in which people have come together. And yet, into it all, how we want hearts to be transformed as well, with a sense of jubilee. For all of the things that we can do practically, the civic leaders can do. There isn't a sense of jubilee that can be bought without Jesus in the middle of it, I don't think. You can't renew, restore a wounded soul. You can't get to the core of the problem, really, without jubilee, without that sense of Jesus making all things new. We can sort out jobs, sort out education, self-help programs, all sorts of stuff, but we can't transform the heart without a Jesus jubilee in the middle of it, I don't think. And I think there's a trumpet call coming for us to at this moment. I think that our heritage with jubilee of name, you know, I never liked. I'm beginning to like. I'm beginning to think, do you know what? I've had to put up with it for 20 years, and this is its moment. Because it sort of captures a vision of how things should be. It's that wonderful sense of God restoring things, making things new. And there's nothing like it when we see it working right. There's nothing like a church when it's working right, embodying, heralding jubilee, heralding Jesus, who comes to set people free, to give them another chance, to restore them. And that is the moment we're living in, I think. As we begin 2022, I think renewal, restoration, that the ideas that come out of our very name, Jubilee, are very real for us as we go into this next year. But there's a third word that I had on my heart in the retreat. Can I just share with you? At the retreat, we one of the pastors called Owen said something, and he said it, and it was like the Spirit just sort of came alive, quickened in me. That's the old word, isn't it? Quickened in me. He was the only person, there's about 25 in the room, and he was the only person from a Nigerian heritage in the room. And all the rest of us have been talking about the pandemic and how it had been difficult and all sorts of things. It was a bit like a sort of, you know, therapy session for pastors, really, in some ways. But it was a really, really good time. But Owen just talked about that moment around Black Lives Matter, and how for him, that was the moment for him in the last couple of years that was powerful. His own personal experience, started sharing what it's like living in London, talking about his view of the police, all sorts of stuff. You could hear a pin drop in the room. It was just humbling, powerful moment. And at the end of it, with just full of grace and love, he said he'd been actually talking to Angela Kem, who many of us know. And they're saying, I've just been thinking more and more about this new season as we're coming out of the pandemic. And the idea of reconciliation has come alive to me. And he's been studying, pursuing it, understanding it with Angela. And when he said that word, you know, it's like a light went on for me. I thought, do you know what? That's the third R. Renewal, restoration, reconciliation. A focus in 2022. Reconciliation, so powerful when you understand it from a theological Bible perspective, that coming together of people, Jesus, people reconciling people to God, reconciling people with each other. I think we're going to have an exciting number of themes that unpack this, and we're going to share some of that in the next couple of weeks. But bringing all this together into a simple idea, so I can finish my introduction and get to my ever so short message. That's just to reassure you. I just feel that's just the Luke passage, and that's the Acts passage. And that's what I feel this year's about, connecting people to Jesus, to the church, to each other. It's a vision to see us all with a renewed connection with Jesus, for us to have a restoration of our passion for the church, and to see people reconciled to God and to each other in all sorts of ways that is going to be marvellous. And just like the year of Jubilee in the Old Testament, I'm believing 2022 is a year of the Lord's favour for us. And I've got quite excited about it. And I feel it's a word for us to take on board over these next couple of weeks. So we're going to do that, and I'm super excited to unpack some of these themes. But for the rest of the day, I just wanted to point to one passage before we break bread, and that is John chapter 15. And to look at how we all can connect afresh with Jesus at the beginning of this year. It's a passage that you will know. We've read it earlier in the year, actually. I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. John 15:5. Amid all of the unknowns of this unprecedented chaos that we're living in, there's one thing that we are surely learning, isn't it? How interconnected we all are, and how being connected with others is important, and being connected with God is important as well, and the source of so much life that's going to come to us. Because we've been created to be connected with God and connected with each other. And that's why we want to connect people in this next year. Just listen to how Jesus begins this one of these wonderful passages. I am the vine, you are the branches, he says. It's such a simple statement, isn't it? But you know what? You can spend a lifetime plumbing the depths of it. And because it is so familiar to so many of us, we can just miss the opportunity it gives us right in this minute. Jesus first mentions that he's the vine. A few verses earlier, he says, I'm the vine and my father is the gardener. In the Old Testament, there's all sorts of references that speak of Israel being the vine and planted and tended by God and not bearing all the fruit that they should. And against this backdrop, Jesus says of himself that he is the true vine, the one who will bear good fruit to his Father's approval and glory. He's the true vine, the true source of life for us as believers. We're the branches connected to him, drawing that life from him as branches draw the necessary nutrients to survive and flourish. You know, we can fall into the trap that we, you know, the branches bear the fruit. But isn't it really true that the vine makes it all happen? I think the point in this wonderful image that Jesus gives us is that there's an interconnectedness, that what we're doing and what we do as a church and what Jesus is doing within us is so important, and how we need to remain in him at the beginning of 22. For many, the pandemic has resulted in a drift from Jesus, drift from church, a drift. But I think at the beginning of this year, there's an opportunity to reset, like a jubilee moment, where we can all say, do you know what? I want to remain in him. I want to draw my life from him. There's so much in this statement. Jesus says, I am the vine. It's just after a series of statements that he makes in the Gospel of John, if you read it. The I ams, if you read them, they're a wonderful part of John's Gospel. I'm the bread of life. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection of the life and the life. And Jesus is purposely using this word, I am. We've said it before, it's the word of God, isn't it? In Exodus 3, I am who I am. Jesus is saying in this moment that it's God that you're drawing life from. Not just mere mortal. It is Jesus that the very life of the world came from. If you read the first chapter of John, Jesus is saying, I am here. I'm the vine. Come to me and remain in me. Jesus says this just before he breaks bread. If you read the Gospels, it's in the passage that's called the Last Supper Discourses. It's the time when Jesus is teaching his 12 disciples. It's super helpful to think about that as we're coming to break bread now. Jesus is teaching his disciples to remain in me just as he knows his time is coming to an end. His life was going to come to an end. This is the teaching he makes just before he's arrested, tried, and crucified. He knows his end is near, and yet, with all the horror facing him, he still wants to prepare his disciples for his departure the best way he can. And he says, I am the vine, remain in me. You know, what people say at the end of their lives is significant, isn't it? The last few things people say. It's sort of the important things, isn't it? It's not usually, this is how much is in my bank. It's not usually, this is what I've done. But Jesus makes a point to teach his disciples just before he's going to die. And one of the things he says is, remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Remain in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, his call to us in this moment as we come to break bread together is to remain. You know, it's been a tough time. It's been a difficult time. There's been lots that's disillusioning. And yet this is a moment where we can say, no, I'm going to remain with you, Jesus, because you are the source of life. And we come in the good of this idea of Jubilee and the opportunity to reset all things. So wherever you are, we can come and break bread. And this can be a new Jubilee, a new beginning for you. I love how the message puts this, paraphrased. Says this, live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but can only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you're joined with me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, that's lovely. The harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood gathered up and thrown on the fire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted on. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a beautiful little paraphrase? We become like Jesus and do great deeds, not by trying harder or pumping up some kind of spiritual hype. We do it all by simply staying at home with him. Being at home with him. Bearing fruit then just happens, because it's ultimately his fruit, not ours. And to make the point stronger, Jesus concludes the verse by stating the same thing in the negative. There's nothing you can do in terms of bearing fruit by yourself, nothing. Zero, zip. So are you up for remaining in Jesus as we come? I mean, it's cool that he's the vine, and the thing he encourages us to do is to drink wine. Now, I recognize this isn't wine from the vine. In fact, I'm not altogether clear where they get it from, but it's sort of symbolic. But there's a moment. There's lots we could say about how we remain, isn't it? You know, how do we remain in Jesus? We want to encourage people to be connected with God in this year. So we'll be talking about that. It's partly what Nathan said. It's, you know, taking an inventory of, have I remained with Jesus? Have I been thankful with Jesus this year? It's listening to Jesus. It's being full of gratitude. It's taking time to be still and retreat. And remaining in Jesus is not just one of those things we're asked to do as Jesus followers. It is the one thing from which everything else proceeds. So whatever we end up doing in this next year, we have to remain in Jesus. To miss this is to miss him. And to miss him is to miss everything, isn't it? So can we come and break bread together? Matt, do you want to come up and lead some worship? I feel this is a trumpet call. A new jubilee. And I've decided we're not going to change the name of the church. For a little while anyway. Well, anyway, no, whatever. Maybe. Well, who knows? But I do know that this is a year of jubilee. A year of favour of God for not just the church, but for you. If you remain in Jesus as we come to this. I just one final little thought as they're getting ready. I don't know if this is just for somebody, but I was reflecting on the prodigal son. Guy Pritchard spoke on it at the carol service. I've just been thinking about it over this last little while, and most of you probably know the story. So why it's my favourite story in the whole Bible. This the young son goes off and wants to be independent, doesn't want to remain with his father. And he takes wealth and has a ball. Has a great time. And then this verse has struck me. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country. And he began to be in need. And you know, I just think in this season, there is a lot of people who are feeling that way. They're looking around and there's been a famine. And there's a lot beginning to feel, do you know what, I am in need. And so if you read on, he goes and he hires himself out to a citizen of the country he'd found himself in, gives himself to what he'd got himself into. And it's just such a story, isn't it? In a Jewish culture, to be sent out to feed the pigs. That's all the land that he was in could muster up for him. And he just longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. I mean, Jesus is making a caricature here, isn't he? But no one gave him anything, it says. And then it says he came to his senses. And that was the turning point. That was his jubilee, his turning back to his father. And you know what? There might be people in the room who this is a moment to turn back to a heavenly father. And if that is the case, then this is a moment for you. A trumpet's blowing. But you know what? I think it's a moment for our town. I think there's many in Farnham who are coming to their senses. And the favour of God is going to rest on us to see many added to us who are being saved. Amen? Let's stand, shall we?